Title: Subtle Tempo Automation Concepts in Jungle Intros Intermediate. Alright, let's talk about one of the most don't touch that topics in drum and bass: tempo automation. Because yeah, in most D&B situations, the rule is simple: keep the beat BPM locked. DJs need it, chopped breaks need it, and tight edits can fall apart fast if the grid starts moving. But jungle intros are a special zone. That's where you can get away with tiny, controlled tempo movement that adds tension and anticipation, like the track is leaning forward before the drop. The key is, subtle enough that it feels human and exciting, but not so much that it sounds like the session is broken. By the end of this lesson, you're going to build a 32-bar jungle intro that starts DJ-friendly, slowly gains forward pull with a small tempo drift, adds a couple micro-push moments into fills, and then lands the drop at a perfectly stable tempo. Locked. Punchy. No excuses. First, set up the session. Open Ableton Live and set your tempo somewhere in that classic jungle range. Try 168 BPM, and make sure you're working in arrangement view, because editing tempo automation is way cleaner there than trying to juggle it in session view. Now build a simple intro foundation. Keep it minimal so you can actually hear what tempo movement is doing. Have a breakbeat loop, something like an Amen or Think. Add an Atmos pad or texture loop. Add a super quiet sub or Reese tease, filtered down so it's more of a hint. And then an FX track for risers, impacts, noise, whatever you like. Here's the concept you need to internalize before we touch anything. Tempo automation changes everything that's time-based. Warped audio playback timing, sync delays, synced reverbs, synced LFOs, autopan rates, arpeggiators, groove feel-its all affected. That's why we keep it controlled, and that's why we choose what stays anchor stable versus what can be elastic. Coach note, pick one anchor for the drop and never compromise it. For most jungle intros, your anchor is the main break, the sub, and any tight stab that really defines the downbeat. If the drop feels weaker after you automate tempo, it's usually because one of those anchors is warping badly or reacting weirdly to sync-based modulation. Next, make sure your audio behaves under tempo changes. This part is not optional. Click your break clip. Turn warp on. For most breaks, use warp mode set to beats. Set preserve to transients. Then do a quick listening test. Loop a section and imagine the tempo shifting a tiny bit. If you already hear chirps or weird transient stutters just from normal playback, tempo automation will make it way worse. If it's choppy when you change tempo later, come back and try preserve set to 1/16th or 1/8th. And if the break is more tonal, or it just refuses to behave, try Complex Pro. Just know that Complex Pro can smear transients, so it's not always the best choice for crisp breaks. For pads and Atmos, warp should also be on, but use Complex or Complex Pro so the stretching is smoother. Alright, now we create the actual tempo automation lane, the right way. Press A to enter automation mode. Go to the master track area and find song tempo automation. You're going to draw a drift and reset structure. Put an automation point at bar 1, 168.0 BPM. At bar 17, 168.4 BPM. At bar 25, 168.8 BPM. And at bar 33, where the drop hits, back to 168.0 BPM. This is the core move. Gradual lift, then reset for impact. And let's be super clear about why we reset at the drop. The drop is where your edits need to land perfectly. It's where the kick and snare have to smack. It's also where DJ friendliness matters most. Not only the BPM, but the first downbeat after the reset has to feel clean and undeniable. Now, if you leave those lines as straight ramps, it can feel a bit like the tempo is changing instead of the energy is rising. So let's shape it. Ableton automation is linear by default, so we fake a more musical curve by adding a few points. Think of an S-curve. Here's a practical feel-based map. Bars 1 through 9. Almost flat. Like 168.0 to 168.1. Barely moving. Bars 9 through 17. Gentle rise up to 168.4. Bars 17 through 29. Slightly steeper, reaching around 168.9. Bars 29 through 33. Hold tension, then reset right on the downbeat of 33. You're aiming for something the listener feels in their body, not something they can point at and say, oh, the tempo is ramping. Now we get into the fun part. Micro pushes into fills. This is classic jungle energy. Pick a few fill moments. Good choices are bar 16, bar 24, and bar 32, because they sit right on transitions. At bar 32, try this. On beat 1, set tempo around 168.6. By beat 3, push it up to 169.0. Then, exactly at bar 33 beat 1, we set to 168.0. That's the punctuation. It's like the track does a tiny sprint, then snaps into formation for the drop. Keep it microscopic. If you shove the tempo up by 2 BPM for a whole bar, it often sounds like an accident. But a 0.2 to 0.6-ish push for a beat or two can feel like urgency, like the band is leaning in. Now, quick workflow hygiene, because this can get messy fast. Make locators at your main transitions, bar 9, 17, 25, and 33. It keeps your session readable. Keep the tempo laying clean. Avoid scattering a million tiny nodes everywhere unless it's a deliberate push. And when you do micro pushes, group them visually. 2 points up, 2 points back. That way, when you tweak, you're not hunting for mystery dots later. Next issue, tempo automation can mess with synced effects. If you're using synced echo or synced reverb times, tempo movement changes those timings in real time. Sometimes that's cool. A lot of the time, it sounds like unstable wobble, like the delay can't decide what it is. So for the intro, especially during the ramp, use unsync times for your vibe effects. Make a return track. Put echo on it. Set echo to ping pong if you want width. Turn sync off. Set the time somewhere around 155 to 220 milliseconds. Feedback around 25 to 40%. High pass the echo around 250 Hz so it doesn't cloud your low end. Low pass around 7 to 10 Khz to keep it warm. Then add reverb after it. Decay somewhere in the 2.5 to 4.5 second range. Cut highs a bit. Cut lows a bit. Keep it atmospheric, not muddy. And if you want extra width, add utility and push the stereo width a little. That setup stays consistent even if your tempo drifts slightly. Hidden casualty warning. It's not just delays and reverbs. Anything synced can start acting weird. Auto pan, synced LFOs, rhythmic gating, ARPs, some max for live devices. If something starts pumping in a way you didn't intend, switch the rate to Hz, or unsync it during the ramp. Now let's cover the safer option. Faking tempo automation, because sometimes the real thing is too risky, especially if your intro has tons of micro chops and edits. You can still create forward motion without moving the master tempo at all. Method 1. Automate groove amount. Open the groove pool and pick something subtle, like a swing 16-65 or an MPC style groove. Apply it to hats, percussion, ghost notes first. Don't slap it on your main kick and snare right away. Then increase the groove amount over the intro. For example, 10 to 20% early, up to 25 to 35% as tension rises, and then back down near the drop so the hit feels tight again. Method 2. Automate note density. Over the last 8 bars, increase hat subdivisions. Go from eighths to sixteenths to little 30-second rolls, or use auto pan as a rhythmic gate and automate its rate upward near the end. That gives the illusion of acceleration even with a fixed BPM. Method 3. Automate intensity in a way the brain reads as speed. On the break, slowly raise a high-pass filter. Something like 80 Hz up to 250 Hz over the intro. Keep resonance subtle. Then add saturation after the filter and creep the drive up slightly in the last 8 bars. That combination makes the break feel like it's coming forward and getting more urgent. People interpret that as momentum. Now let's arrange this like a jungle record so it actually makes sense musically. Bars 1 to 8. Atmos and a distant break. Maybe low passed. Tempo basically flat. Bass. Bars 9 to 16. Open the break a bit. Add shuffled hats. Tempo begins the gentle rise. Bars 17 to 24. Introduce the bass tees. Filtered Reese. Very controlled. Add one micro tempo push into a fill. Let your unsynced effects tails paint the space. Bars 25 to 32. Harder fills. A few more edits. Tension peak. Tempo hits its maximum drift. Still subtle. Then reset right on bar 33. Bar 33. Lock tempo. Full drums and bass. Advanced variation if you want it more musical. Instead of a hard snap back, try a rubber band reset. Peak in the last bar. Then return to target tempo over the final half beat or one beat. The drop still lands on grid, but the reset feels less like a gear change. Another advanced move. Two-stage tension. Drift upward gradually through most of the intro. Then in the last two bars, stop increasing tempo. Flatten it. Add intensity with density, filtering, distortion, arrangement contrast instead. That feels like controlled power, like the track braces itself before impact. And here's a sound design trick if your main break gets fragile under tempo movement. Duplicate the break track. On the duplicate, high pass it around 200 to 400 Hz. Add gentle saturation, maybe a bit of transient shaping. Blend that in more during the ramp. That bright transient layer can mask minor warp artifacts while keeping perceived punch. A quick momentum trick that doesn't touch tempo at all. Automate reverb pre-delay downward, something like 25 milliseconds down to 10 milliseconds over the intro. Shorter pre-delay feels closer and more immediate, and the listener reads that as forward motion. Now, common mistakes to avoid. 1. Too much BPM change. If you can clearly hear the song speeding up, it's probably too far for DNB. Stay in the zone of plus 0.3 to plus 1.0 BPM over 16 to 32 bars. 2. Warp issues. Bad warp markers turn into flaming transients and smears the moment you drift tempo. 3. Synced FX becoming unstable. Use unsync times during the ramp. 4. Not resetting cleanly. You must return to the exact target tempo on the drop downbeat. 5. Automating tempo while doing tons of tiny break edits. If the drums are extremely edited, consider using the fake tempo methods instead. Here's a quick metering trick to validate your results without getting hypnotized by the grid. Bounce just the intro and listen while tapping quarter notes or nodding along. If it feels like lift and urgency, you'll ride it naturally. If it feels like timing error, you'll start mentally correcting it. That tells you instantly if your automation is musical or just messy. Mini practice exercise, quick and effective. Set tempo to 170 BPM. Add a break loop and a pad. Automate tempo, bar 1 at 170.0, bar 9 at 170.4, bar 17 back to 170.0. Add a micro push in the last two beats of bar 16, peaking about 0.3 BPM above wherever you are. Add an unsynced echo on a return track and send just a few snare hits into it. Export the intro and listen. Does the drift feel like energy, not error? And does bar 17 feel locked and punchy? If it feels off, cut the tempo change in half and recheck your warp mode. That's usually the fix. Recap to lock it in. Subtle tempo automation can make jungle intros breathe and pull forward as long as you keep the movement small and controlled. Micro pushes into fills add that classic urgent jungle feel. Reset exactly on the drop downbeat, because that's the anchor moment. Protect yourself with good warping and be careful with anything synced. And if real tempo automation gets risky, fake it with groove, density, filtering, saturation, HE-based modulation, and arrangement contrast. For homework, make two versions of the same 32-bar intro. Version A uses real tempo automation under 1 BPM total drift, with exactly 2 micro pushes. Version B uses no tempo automation at all, only illusion techniques. This audio version is shortened for playback.